Please take your Bibles, turn to Psalms 27 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 611. Beginning with verse 7, we'll read through verse 14. Psalm 27, verses 7 through 14. The 13th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. And we'll read these eight verses responsively. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Hear, O God, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And Father, we come to thee with many needs this morning. We believe that thou art the meter of our needs, that thou canst do all things that are necessary for our strength and for our blessing and for our help. There's not a person here today that does not have some sort of need. And we pray that you'd bless the crowd. We pray for each individual. We pray for thy help in knowing the needs of each individual. And we pray for our preacher, certainly, that thou wouldst bless him with thy power and that thou wouldst have of this service that which thou dost require, that which would please thee, and bring honor and glory to thy gracious and matchless name. For we ask in the name of Jesus, amen.
Subject, because I believe I will. Because I believe I will. One of the most marvelous verses in all the Bible is this one. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I do not believe it's necessary for any Christian to be perennially downcast or depressed or discouraged. All of us have our moments when we are temporarily set back, but as a way of life, there's no need for that. A Christian ought to be, again, may I say, we'll have a few moments when our joy may flee, but the general tenor of the Christian life ought to be joy. The general flavor of the Christian life ought to be positive, regardless of our burdens, our heartaches, our needs, or our reversals. And I'm going to show you this morning why Christians are so negative, why a Christian lives in a depressed state. That one verse, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I beg you to listen carefully. I beg you to hear one of the secrets to the Christian life, if not the great truth of the Christian life. Father, bless us now. Bless thy simple, humble preacher, not possessed with eloquence or not great brilliance, but possessed with a sincerity that is 100%, and possessed with a desire to help his people, and possessed with a love for them. I pray you'd help me this morning to be what these dear ones need. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me very, very carefully. The 27th Psalm is a psalm that is what we call double expression. By that, the psalm is divided into two different sections. Verses 1 through 6 were sung to a jubilant double beat. When the Jews would sing this in their services, they would sing it like we would sing Oh, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. A happy, jubilant beat, verses 1 through 6. But starting with verse number 7, a very interesting transition takes place. Verse number 7 through 14 were sung to a mournful, slow beat. I mean, almost like a funeral dirge. So verses 1 through 6, delightfully happy. Verses 7 through 14, slow and mournful. Now there was a reason for this. Be seated, folks, back in the back, if you would, please. Nobody standing, please. There was a reason for this. Don't miss it. David had a dual feeling at the time. He felt truly joyous, as manifested in verses 1 through 6. But he felt as sad as he ever felt in his life, as manifested in verses 7 through 14. You see, something tragic and yet wonderful had happened to David. His own son, Absalom, had rebelled against his father. His own son had said, "I am going to become the king and sit on the throne of Israel, replacing my father." Can you imagine anything? I don't know what your burden is this morning, but it's not that bad. I don't know what your heartache is this morning, but it can't compare to that. I mean, here is the king of Israel sitting on his throne, and his own son decides he's going to become the king. But that isn't all. He gathers an army by deceit and gathers an army and fights and declares war on his dad. Can you imagine that? Declares war on his dad. And his army engages in warfare of rebellion for Absalom to become the king of Israel. David would not fight him. His army did, but David would not be a part of the battle against his own son. So David leaves the city of Jerusalem. He leaves his throne, takes off his crown, lays aside his robe, lays down his scepter, and takes a few bodyguards, Ittai and the 600 Philistines that guarded him, and leaves the throne and goes to a little city out a ways from the city of Jerusalem. He watches the dust of battle as it rises. Now, wait a minute. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. He realizes that he may or may not be king, but that isn't all. He realizes that his own son is in battle against his forces. So here is a double sorrow. He's losing perhaps the throne. And he's lost his son as far as his loyalty is concerned, and his own son is a rebel against him. While David is out there, he watches the dust of battle as it rises, and all of a sudden, he sees the dust of battle as it settles. He knows the battle is over. He knows that victory is been given to one side. Who will be the king? Will I return to the throne? Or will my son sit on my throne? Will I once again wear the crown on my brow? Will I once again wear the robe on my shoulders? Will I once again hold the scepter in my hand? Will I be the king? Or will my scepter now be held by my son? Or will my robe be worn by the shoulders of my son? Or will the crown be on the brow of my son? And David wonders who's won the battle. And all of a sudden, he sees a messenger come. His name is Ahimeaz. He's a fast runner. He runs quickly. And there's another messenger coming also, whose name is Cushai, but doesn't run very fast. So Ahimeaz comes first to David, and David asks an interesting question. Hear me. He said, "Is the young man safe? Is the young man safe?" "Why, I'm surprised, David. Don't you want to know whether you're the king or not?" He said, "Not yet. I want to know one thing. How's my boy? Is the young man safe? Is my boy alive? David, aren't you concerned about whose is the throne?" "Not yet." He said, "Is the young man safe? Aren't you concerned about whose hand will hold the scepter?" "Not yet. I want to know, is the young man safe? Aren't you concerned about whose brow shall wear the royal glistening crown?" "I'm only concerned about one thing. Is my boy safe?" And I will tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll mention this tonight again. But the individuals in this room are more important than all the buildings we own. And I wouldn't give one life of one teenager
for a wrecked life for all the buildings we own. And David was the same way. David wanted to be king. He hoped that he was still king. But the main thing was, is my boy safe? And Ahimeaz didn't know the answer. He was the fastest runner, but he didn't know the answer. And David said, step aside. Here comes a plodding kind of a runner, less spectacular than Ahimeaz. His name is Cushai. And David asked the question, is the young man safe? Why, David, don't you want to know if you're still king? Is the young man safe? Don't you want to know if you're still the occupant of the throne? Is the young man safe? And Cushai says, no. No. Your boy's dead. Your boy's dead. But David, you're still the king. It was then when David said the 27th Psalm. The first six verses, exultant, exuberant joy, because he was still the king. And 7 through 14, slow, mournful sorrow, because his son was dead. But I want you to notice our text is in the last half. And it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now look, if you want a good last verse, take that one. I had fainted unless I had believed to see. Now what you want to do is see to believe. Well, if Thomas said, if I could see the scars in his hands, I could believe. But Jesus said, blessed are you, Thomas. You've seen the scars and have believed, but more blessed are they which have not seen and yet shall believe. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't see and then have faith. If you see, it's not faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I mean, if you see first, if I could just see my future, I believe I could praise God. Brother, God wants you to praise Him when you can't see your future. Let me tell you exactly what David is saying here. He's saying five things. He's saying, this is good. This is good. Good? Yeah, this is good. Your boy being dead? Yeah, this is good. David said this. Second, he's saying, I cannot see it now. I cannot see the good in this. But first he said, this is good. Hey, everything that happens to you, the first thing you ought to say is, this is good. This is good. And the second thing he said, I cannot see the goodness now. And the third thing he said, but I believe it is good. And the fourth thing he said, and I will see that it's good. And the fifth thing he said, because I believe I will. Because I believe I will. Now listen to me. Whatever negative thing is in your life today, it's good. It's good. Well, I just can't see it. Well, okay, but believe it's good. That's what faith is. Believe it's good. Believe it's good. And so David said, this is good. I cannot see it now, but I believe it and I will see it. And then the reason I will see it is because I believe it. Hey, the first thing you do is not see. The first thing is you believe. Look, you say, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, my boy is dead. I will soon sit beside a casket and look at his face in the casket, and I shall soon see his body, Lord, in a grave. But David said, I am believing that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hey, you got burdens this morning, heartaches and problems and sorrow. Believe that you'll see. Don't see to believe. Lord, if you'll let me see, I'll believe. No. It's no faith in God if you see and believe. It's faith in God if you believe to see. And David said, I believe to see. This is what the Christian life is all about. This is the way I got saved. And if you get saved, the same way you'll get saved. Listen carefully. Five things. I am going to heaven. Well, you say, you cocky thing, you. You must think you're something. Well, bless God, if you're as good looking as I am, you'd think you're something too. But I'm going to heaven. You say you know it? Yeah, I just said that. You wouldn't have had to ask that if you'd listened the first time. Yeah, I am going to heaven. I said, I am going to heaven. I have not one shred of doubt. I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven when I die. You say, you must think you're pretty good. No, because I'm not going because I'm good. I'm going because He's good. And I've trusted His goodness instead of mine.
I know I'm going to heaven. Number two, I cannot see it now. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen the golden streets, the gates of pearl, nor the beautiful city of heaven. But I know I'm going there. I cannot see it now, but I believe I'm going, and I will see it. Why? Because I believe I will. Now listen carefully to me. All kinds of false teaching go around concerning how to get to heaven. Basically, if you know that Christ, if you're a sinner, and as a sinner you're lost, and Christ has paid the penalty for your sins and suffered for your sins on the cross, and you believe in Him to take you to heaven, and then believe that you'll go. You say, preacher, are you saying I'll go to heaven if I believe I'll go to heaven? You'll go to heaven if you believe you'll go to heaven on the basis of the cross and what Jesus did for you. That's what it's all about. But you say, Brother Hiles, if I could just have somebody go to heaven and bring me back pictures, then I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. That's not belief. That's not faith. You're saved by faith, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not the evidence of things seen. If, and by the way, if somebody rose from the dead this morning, hear me now, they rose from the dead and walked up here and said, let's suppose that one of our people, I'll just take Brother Tudor, whose name is on this pulpit. Suppose he rose from the dead and he walked down this aisle and he said, folks, I just got back from heaven. I've been there for a number of years. Let me tell you about it. And he told us about it. No more folks would get saved than will get saved this morning. Because you don't see and believe because you're saved by faith. And if you saw it, it wouldn't be faith. You're not saved by seeing and believing because that's not faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Bless God, I've never seen heaven, but I'm going there. And I'm going there because I believe I will. By the way, that's how I preach. Number one, I preach Him. Number two, I've never seen Him. Number three, I believe I will. Number four, and I will. Number five, because I believe I will. I've been pastoring over 43 years. Over 50,000 times I've stood behind pulpits like this and preached the gospel during these 43 years. Over 50,000 times. I doubt there's a preacher alive who's preached 50,000 sermons. 50,000 times. I've told about Him. I've magnified Him. I've pointed to Him. But I've never seen Him. But bless God, I'm going to see Him. I am going to look on the face of Jesus. I'm going to. I know I am. Well, how do you know? Because I believe. I cannot see Him, but I believe I will, and I will because I believe I will. I wish I could grab a hold of every one of you and shake you good and hard and shake the reality of this message inside your breast. I'm talking about the message of this book. Bless God, this book is real. And bless God, heaven is real. And bless God, hell is real. And bless God, Jesus is the living Son of God who lived and died and rose again and ever liveth to make intercession for us. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real. That's what it's all about. Well, you say, Brother Hound, now if I could see him, I'd believe him. No, you wouldn't, because that's not faith. You're not saved by seeing and believing. You're saved by believing and then seeing. I believe to see. Now, you folks that don't believe will never see Him. You don't believe you're going to heaven, you'll never go to heaven. But that's how I handle my burdens. Number one, I believe. First, if I have a burden, I say, number one, I believe this is good. You say, preacher, I can't always see that things are good. I can't either. I cannot tell you one single good reason why our daughter has one of the worst cases of lupus you've ever seen in your life. I understand that. I can't see it. But I believe it's good. You say, why do you believe it's good? Because my God is good and He makes no mistakes. I believe it's good. I cannot see the good out of being in a battle like I've been in for a year and a half, but I believe it's good. And bless God, I am keeping on believing so I can see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I'll see it. I'll see the victory. Why? I believe to see. I don't see to believe, I believe to see. David sits there. That little city. His son is dead. But he's the king. For six verses he shouts and sings a jubilant praise to his God. Then the next verses, eight verses, he mourns and sings a mournful dirge because his son is gone. But he ends it all by saying, I had fainted. He said, I had fainted. And by the way, that's why you're fainting. You don't believe it's going to work out right. But you listen to me. Do you love God this morning? Are you His child? Are you in His will? My Bible says everything that happens to you is going to work out for good. Now, I believe that. Because I believe that, I don't faint. People sit in the house. How do you keep going? I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe to see. I remember that day on a broadcast in Texas, Lester Roloff came on the air. He was on a station owned by the Texas Baptist, Southern Baptist Convention. They owned a building in Corpus Christi, Texas, and leased a part of that building to a liquor store. Lester Roloff gets on their station and condemns them for leasing a building to a liquor store. And he should have. And they put him off the station. And I remember that morning when I was driving my car down the road and listening to the radio, Lester Roloff, he said, they put me off, folks. He said, it's a dark day. But he said, I'll see the victory. And within about 5 years, God gave Lester Roloff not only his program back on that station, but bless God, he owned the radio station. Listen, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. I believe it. And that's why I'll wear a crown. Because I believe it. You can't see your way through this morning. Don't have to see it through. Believe that you're going to make it through. I believe to see. I believe to see. Your trouble is that you want to see and then believe. But that's not God's divine order. I said a while ago, that was the trouble with Thomas. Thomas came and said, I'll not believe unless I see. Notice that. I'll not believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands. If I see, I'll believe. Let me say again. If you could see Jesus this morning, then that wouldn't be faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So you're having a tough time. Stand up on your hind feet and say, this is good. And then all of a sudden scratch your head and say, I've got to focus out of you why it's good. But it's good. And then say, I believe I'll see it, the good. And I will see it, because I believe I will. Thomas said, except I see his hands. I'd love to see his hands, but Jesus said something very sweet there. He said, blessed are you, Thomas, you've seen and believed. But he said, more blessed are those who have not seen who believed. When I think about that, for some reason or other, I turned my mind to a little farmhouse down in central Texas, about 5 miles south of a little town called Milford, Texas, where one of the sweetest, most sincere Christians I ever knew lived. I called him Uncle Roy. My mother called him brother. One of the finest brothers who ever lived. Loved his sister, took care of his sister as best he could. Uncle Roy lived in a little farmhouse. He had 40 acres that he sharecropped. Just 40 acres. He did that till he was 70 years of age and had a heart attack. Every Sunday morning, Uncle Roy would get up early. After he'd done the usual farmhouse chores, he'd get in an old beat-up car and drive probably 20 miles on dirt roads to a little country church. He'd stand up and teach a Sunday school class. And then a country preacher, every other week, halftime preaching they called it, every other week would come and preach. And if the preacher didn't come and preach, Uncle Roy would stand up and he'd bring the message that day. Uncle Roy was not an educated man, but a sincere, sweet Christian. After that, they'd have dinner on the grounds because they couldn't go home. Everybody came so far that then they'd have dinner on the grounds. And then they'd stay all afternoon and go to church that night. Uncle Roy never saw the pierced hands of Christ. He never heard him say audibly, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He never saw the face of Christ. He did not see his resurrection body like Peter did and like Mary Magdalene did. But Uncle Roy just kept on going. And that's what Jesus is saying. Thomas, step aside. Peter, step aside. John, step aside. This blessed are you have seen and have believed, but more blessed is Uncle Roy, who after under 2,000 years from now, never seen me, never heard my voice, never felt my hand, never touched my side, never saw me. More blessed are those which shall not see and yet shall believe. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. My mama, every time the church doors were open, we were in church. My little mama taught me the first $3 I ever made. She took 3 dimes out and said, "These belong to God." My little mama gave what she had tithed to God and all she could to God. Took a little boy with an alcoholic husband, out drunk, took a little boy to church on Sunday morning, walked long journey to church and walked back that night and walked back in the dark. Took him back on Wednesday night and came home. She never saw the blessed face of the Savior. She never saw the scars in his hands. She never saw him transfigured on Mount Tabor. She never saw his resurrected body, but she kept on serving. And heartache. One little girl dead in the grave. The second girl dead in the grave. Daddy a drunkard and gone. And her life wrecked and ruined. But she still believed. She believed to see. Bless God, she walked in this church one Sunday morning and she saw that little boy standing up and preaching to several thousand people. And my mama saw the goodness of the Lord of the land of the living and it made it all worthwhile. And you mark this down, I'll guarantee you, you mark this down, you keep on believing. But you say, "I can't see it." You keep on believing. But you say, "I cannot see the way." You keep on believing. But you say, "Preacher, it's so dark." Keep on believing. But it's foggy. Keep on believing. And bless God, if this Bible's true, and it is, you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Just believe to see. Believe till you see. How long believe? Believe till you see. How long is it going to take? I don't know, but believe till you see. And you'll see. That faithful country preacher this morning who stands down in the hollers of Kentucky somewhere in some little country church in the Midwestern neighborhood or Midwestern country area, makes a few dollars, wears hand-me-down clothes, pastors a little church all of his life, buries the dead, marries the young, wins the lost, baptizes the saved. Heartaches, burdens. If you want to see a great Christian, ladies and gentlemen, step aside, Peter. You saw him. You sat beside him or near him at the table in the upper room. You heard him speak the words, "Let not your heart be troubled." Step aside, Elijah. You saw the fire come from heaven. Step aside, Moses. You saw the tablets of stone come written by the hands of God himself. Step aside, Elijah. Step aside, Moses. Step aside, Paul. You were caught up to the third heaven. You want to see a great Christian. You find some little faithful preacher that's never seen him and never touched him and never heard his voice who keeps on proclaiming the message of God. And that's the Christian that Jesus is talking about when he said, "More blessed are they which have not seen and yet shall believe." You take some factory worker, some steel mill worker, some little lady rearing her children by herself, doesn't know how she's going to make ends meet or how she'll see tomorrow. But yet she keeps on going and keeps on serving and maybe keeps on working a bus route and keeps on teaching her children the Word of God. There's no way she can see the future, but she doesn't have to see the future because she's got her eyes on Him who can see the future. You believe till you see. In Hebrews 11:1,
says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Enoch believed he was going to be raptured. He could not see how, but he believed he was. So he was because he believed he was. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, took that little boy's body, put it in the ark in the bulrushes, daubed it with pitch and put it in the ark in the bulrushes in the Nile River, and walked away. She believed that that boy someday was going to rule Egypt because God had told her he would. She couldn't see how he could, that little boy in the bulrushes there. She couldn't see how he could. She didn't have to see how he could. She believed that she would see how he could. Hebrew children facing the fire furnace could not see how they'd be spared, but they believed they would be spared. They did not know how, but they believed they would, and they believed until they saw that God spared them. Ladies and gentlemen, for 31 years, you've called me your preacher. For 31 years, you've walked into my office like a lion, a long line of thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people. I've shared your burdens. I've shared your heartaches. There have been times when I've been able to tell you why, but most of the time I cannot tell you why. It's my job to point and say, He knows why. He knows why. I saw a picture the other day of the college where I attended. A fellow had taken some pictures. And I saw a picture of the college I attended, and all of a sudden I saw a room on the second floor on the north side. That's the room where Dean Smith taught us Bible. And I could not help but remember that morning when we went to class and Dean was not there. The president of the college, Dr. H.D. Bruce, walked in and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, students, Dean Smith won't be here for a long time because Dean Smith was injured in a car accident. He's critically ill this morning. He's injured in a car accident." Dr. Bruce said, "Dean Smith not only is critically ill, but his daughter was killed immediately in the car accident. His only daughter killed immediately in the car accident. We prayed for Dean's recovery. Weeks became months, and months became several. And one day, Dean was able to come back to class for the first time. I'll never forget that day. His daughter had been dead, killed in a car accident. He almost died. Dean walked in the class. We did what you would have done. We stood and gave him a standing ovation. And the old man walked to the desk, leaned on it like this, looked out like old men sometimes look, and said, 'Young people, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose.'" What was he doing? Believing till he could see. He did not stand there that morning and announce why it was good. Didn't have to. He just announced that there was somebody that said it was good, and he believed it. And he was going to believe it's good, and he was going to someday see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Most of you haven't lived long enough to know this. I've lived long enough to know it. I've lived long enough to see the end of a lot of things. I've lived long enough to believe and believe and believe and believe until the day came when I could see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. May I, who walked a few miles down the path farther than you, may I turn back to you and say, folks, I've been through that path. There are not many things a preacher can face I haven't faced in these 43 years. There are not many burdens a preacher can bear that I haven't borne in these 43 years. There's not many lonely hours a preacher can know that I have not known these 43 years. But I want to serve notice this morning to you that God is good. You keep on believing, and you'll see. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Don't faint. Just keep on believing. But I can't see. You will see. If you believe, you will see. Just keep on believing. And one day, you'll say, "I'll declare
It's so plain now. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm just going to keep on running the race till I see Him. Our Heavenly Father,